Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Some garments. I want to gamble some clothes. And he gambles those garments and he says, if I'm going to come up with a riddle, and if you come up with what the riddle means and you can understand it, then I'm going to give you 30 garments and 30 outfits. And if y'all can't, then you have to give me 30 outfits. And so that was the bet. So Samson finds himself gambling at his wedding. And as he gambles, It says that for 7 days was the gamble. If they couldn't do it within 7 days, and then it says that on the seventh day, that his friends, his groomsmen, his companions, they went up against, and they said to his wife that he was going to marry. He said, "I want you to go to Samson, and I want you to convince him to tell me what the riddle means, because if you don't, we're going to burn you and your father and your house." He says, "They say that you're just marrying him so you can overthrow us and to burn us to overtake us." And so it says that Samson's wife she had wept before him and she said, "Do you hate me? Do you want my parents to die?" And eventually he gives in and he tells them the riddle. He tells her the riddle. I hope I'm not giving too much here, but. He tells the riddle, and the wife betrays him, and she tells all the other people about him, about the riddle, and tells him what it means. And the people come back to Samson, and they say that this is what the riddle means. And of course, they were right. But then Samson, remember his purpose was to deliver the people from their oppressors, from the Philistines. And so Samson he went on and he found 30 people of the Philistines, and he killed them, and he took their outfits, and he gave it to them. He gave it to his friends. And so he took those 30 outfits, and then he only delivered the people whenever it was himself that was in trouble. Then time goes on, and eventually his wife is given to his friend, and what he does then is he finds 300 foxes, and he takes 300 foxes' tails, and he cuts the tails off. He finds 300 foxes, and he finds a burning piece of wood, and he ties the tails and the sticks to the two foxes, and he lets those foxes loose in the Philistines' cornfields, and it burns up their corn, and that's what he does to punish them, so they don't have anything to eat. And he sets 300 foxes of those, and he only did that whenever it was he himself who was in trouble. And then we get to, he said, "I'm still going to, that's not good enough. I still need to get my revenge on you." And right before that, they had burned the father and the mother of the daughter that he had married. And he said, "That's still not good enough for my punishment. I still need my vengeance." So this is what he did. He slew, I can't remember how many, but he slew the people of the Philistines. And so in response to that, the people of the Philistines, they had went up into Israel, the nation of Israel, and they had gathered themselves to get the Philistines. And so they had gathered themselves to get Samson. And then you have Judah. The tribe of Judah gather 3,000 men of their tribe, and they get those 3,000 men to capture Samson. And Samson, Samson's delivered into the Philistines' hands, and the Philistines, they say that they're going to take him, but Samson, we've all heard the story of the jawbone of the ass, and we have the story here in chapter number 15, verse number 14. The Philistines shouted against him, and Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arm became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. So he takes the jawbone of a donkey, and he takes that jawbone and he kills 1,000 people with that jawbone. And then time goes on, and then verse number 20 of chapter 15, it says, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So his job is to govern those laws. His job is to deliver the people. But we find that he only delivers the people whenever it's he himself who's in trouble. So I told you that there's three women. There was number one, that was the woman of Timnath, who he was going to marry, but he had told the riddle. He had gambled, and he ruined his chance to have a better chance at the Philistines. Number two, that's the harlot from Gaza. You get to chapter 16, and you look at verse number one. Then went Samson to Gaza, and he saw there an harlot, and he went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him and laid wait for him and all the night in the gate of the city. And they were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. So here we have Samson. He finds a prostitute, and he finds this prostitute, and he goes in to their room with her, and the people of Gaza, they say that they're going to lie in wait at the gate of the city, and as he comes out, we're going to take him. So Samson, he just picks up the gate and the doorpost of the gate, and he carries out, and they just decided, well, I don't think I want to get him. And so that happens, and that's the second woman. And I don't know it doesn't say that God really punished him here, and I'm not going to say much about that, since the Bible doesn't say much about that. And I'm just going to take that as God just showed him mercy. He found him a prostitute, but sometimes in your life, sometimes in my life, God just says, I love you, child. I know you're sorry. And sometimes you're just waiting for the punishment there to come. But God just says, I love you. Sometimes he looks at you and he says, he's proud of you, and he says, that's my boy. Sometimes he looks at you and he's looking down and he says, that's my boy. And sometimes he gives you the grace and you're just waiting for the punishment, but it never comes. Always the Holy Spirit convicts you, but you're just waiting for your life to fall apart because you know you did this evil deed in your life, and it never comes. There's three women. The number one, that was the woman of Timnath. Number two, that's the harlot from Gaza, and we'll get to preaching here. And number three, that's Delilah. We've all heard the story of Samson and Delilah. Look at verse number four. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And there's the valley of Sorek was not a Philistine territory, but we find out that she joins up with those Philistines. And so this is the story of Delilah. It came to pass, verse number four, that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. It says that he loved that woman. And so verse number five, and the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and he said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lies. So the lords of the Philistines, we find out in Joshua that there's five of them. There's five lords of the Philistines. And they say to Delilah, they say, just entice him. We want to know where his strength lies. We want to know what gives him this strong strength to just carry the doorpost and walk out with the gate of the gate of the city and to smite 30 men and to kill 1,000 people with a jawbone and ass. I want you to go entice him and find out what it is. And so as they're laying together at night, Delilah says, tell me, what's your strength lying? And he says, number one, he says, with seven green sticks that have never been dried, if you bind me with those, if you bind me with seven green sticks and you tie me up with those and the Philistines come upon me, then I'll be as another man. And I won't be able to break free, and then my strength will be gone. Number two, he says that, that happens, and they find out that that wasn't true, that his strength was still there, and he went on, and then so that's number two. Then number one. Then number two, she says to him, he says, "You've mocked me, you've made a fool of me, and you've made me call these Philistines, and you've made a fool of me." He said, "Tell me where your strength lies." And he says, "If you get two new ropes and you tie me up," and that's what she does. She ties him up as in the middle of the night, and the Philistines are waiting for him. And she ties him up, and she says, "Hey, the Philistines are coming. There's Philistines are coming." And so then Samson, he gets up, and it's not true. He breaks loose of those ropes. Number three, he says that if you take his hair. Now remember, the Nazarite vow, his strength lies in his hair. No razor is supposed to come upon his hair. And so we're getting close here. We're getting close to his real strength. And so as we get close to that real strength, this is what he tells Delilah. He says, Delilah comes back and says that you've made a mockery of me. Tell me, where does your strength lie? And in the middle of the night, she gathers up with the Philistines and has them lay in wait in their room. And in the middle of the night, she binds his hair, because Samson says the third time, he says, "If you take my seven locks of my hair," seven dreadlocks, like Joanna's, "if you take my seven dreadlocks, then, and you bind them together, you tie them in a knot, then this message is going to cost me. But if you tie them in a knot, then... And if you tie those locks in a knot and you do that, then I'll be had the strength as another man." And she woke him up and said, "The Philistines are upon you. The Philistines are upon you." And it wasn't true. He walked away and was not harmed. Then we get to the last one, and it says that in the Bible that she pressed him daily with her words. He found a woman that he loved, and she pressed him three times. And the fourth time, he couldn't take it. He gave in, and he told her, he said, "If you take a razor and you cut my hair, then I'll have the strength of another man." And he sat there that night, and he laid on Delilah's lap. It says that she got him to lay on his knees, and he laid there on her knees, and she was... she stroked his hair, and she couldn't, she shaved his hair in the middle of the night. And as he got up, and his strength was gone. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord was departed from him. He said that he didn't know it. And it's one of the saddest verses in your Bible. The Spirit of the Lord departed from him. And that's the story of Delilah. And he lost his power, and he was delivered into the hands of the Philistines. And he was, the rest of his life, he was in bondage. And he was, it says in verse number 8, chapter 15, it says that he smote them, chapter 16, verse number 20. And she said, "The Philistines be upon me, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep, and he said, "I'll go out as the other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and brought him in with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison. He did grind in the prison house. So he was taken captive, and they put chains upon his ankles. And he pushed a mill the rest of his life, a grinding stone. He pushed that the rest of his life, and he was a servant for them. Now I'm going to tell you three things that caused Samson to lose his power because he lost his separation from God. And I'll tell you that the reason that he lost his power was not because of the Nazarite vow he had cut his hair off, but it was because that the purpose of the vow was to be separated to God. And so he sacrificed his separation to please the woman. Now I'm going to give you three things that led him to do this. I'll get you to turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 6. Chapter number 7. And keep your finger in Judges. One finger in Judges 16. One finger in Proverbs chapter 7. So number one, that was, look at verse number 4 of chapter 16, Judges. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The first point that I have is that he got too close. He got too close to her. And I'll say this, that if you let yourself get too close to sin, if you let yourself start dabbling in sin, if you start hanging out with the people that drink, if you start doing those things, then eventually you'll be consumed. Eventually you'll be consumed just like Samson. And I'll tell you that there's men that have been stronger than you and stronger than me that have failed because of the same thing. Look at Proverbs chapter 7 now. Look at verse number 25. It says, "Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray into her paths." Don't get too close to her. Verse number 26. "For if she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her." The strange woman. Samson fell. He fell by Delilah. David fell. He got too close to Bathsheba. You have Solomon fell. He had 300 wives and 700 concubines. And they all ended up consumed. "For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her." If you get too close to sin, you will be consumed. Verse number 27, it says that her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. I remember whenever I had went off into sin and I had started drinking. I remembered that I had started making friends with the people that drank. I got too close to it. And if you get too close to the wrong crowd, if you get too close to the wrong person, if you start dating someone that has more hell in them than they do have heaven, then you're going to end up consumed. You're going to end up ruining your life. And there's been many young people who had grew up in church and who had loved the Lord and who had had a heart to serve God, and they got the wrong person and they went out and were consumed. Too close. He was too close to her. Number two is that her words. That's what the next thing that what led him to be consumed. Look at verse number 16, Judges chapter 16. This was after the third time. So the fourth time, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have seen a Nazarite unto God, been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak like any other man." Now I'll go back to Proverbs chapter number 5 now. It said that she pressed him daily with her words. Proverbs 5 verse number 3. "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell." And we read those verses and we see verse number 4, and we say, "But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." And we say, I've heard that before, right? Sharp as a two-edged sword. But that's not true. The Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Young people, I know what the struggles of a young man is. Teenagers, young men, that's what they're struggling with. And you may have you may be consumed with the passions of your heart. And the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That you may be consumed with the passions of your heart and the natural desire of your flesh. But it may be sharp as a two-edged sword, but I tell you, with the Word of God, you can get over that with because it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I tell you that I tried my whole time that I was in those sins. I tried to quit vaping. I tried to quit drinking, but until I got in the Word of God, someone gave me the advice. They said, if you fall in love with the Bible, they said, fall in love with the Bible. And it came easy. Sharper than any two-edged sword is that she pressed him with her words. Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 4. "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with flatter with her words. You ever seen a woman and her husband's ugly? Lucas, why you smile? You know how she got, or he got that woman? With her words, with his words. He convinced her that he wasn't that much of a doofus as he looked, and so she gave in and she married him. I tell you, it's the same way with this instance. The words they push, and as it says that when she pressed him daily with her words, that's whenever he became consumed. Now, the third, I told you first, there was that he got too close to her. And it, number two is that she pushed him with her words. And number three is that the touch. I'll get you to look back at Judges chapter number 16. Verse number 19, it says, "And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him." She convinced him to lay there on his lap. He had saw that she had tricked her. She had tricked him 3 times already. She had tricked him 3 times already, and he just couldn't resist the way that it felt to get his head rubbed and to lay on his lap and to lay on her lap. And I'll get you to look at Proverbs chapter 6. And he couldn't resist that, and he fell when he was consumed. Now, look at verse number 23, Proverbs chapter 6. And it says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lest not after her beauty in thine heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? Therefore, or whosoever goeth into his neighbor's wife shall not be innocent." You get into the room with Delilah. You get into the room with Delilah, and you dabble in those touches, and eventually you're going to get burned. "Whosoever touches her shall not be innocent." And so, from then on, Samson was taken, and he was taken by the Philistines. And it says that he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and brought him with fetters into the brass and did grind him in the prison house. So Samson lives the rest of his life oppressed. And his job was to deliver the people of Israel from the Philistines. And so he's now, the Lord's gone from him. We read multiple times that the Lord had, the Spirit of the Lord was on him. He tore the line and he grabbed the gate and he carried it. But now the Spirit of the Lord's gone upon him, and he maybe has no purpose in his life from this point on. He's in that prison cell. Look at verse number 28. "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes. And Samson took of the 2 middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of which one with his right hand and one on the other, one on his left." So Samson, he's under the house and he's bound up and he's chained up. He's chained up. He has a pillar on this side and a pillar on this side, and he's locked in there like this. And so we'll read on verse number 30. "And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And there was Philistines above him in the house. And the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than that which he slew at his life." And you may think to yourself that you've given your life to sin, and you've lived a whole life of sin, and you can never get back in fellowship with God. And maybe you're a Christian. You said, "I've exhausted the love of God, and I cannot possibly have fellowship with Him again." But I tell you that God can use you again. God can use you, and you don't have to die outside of His will. And it's also I think it's a great picture of the Messiah. He was sanctified in the womb. The Spirit of the Lord came upon His mother. He was sanctified in the womb. He was set apart to deliver the people from the enemy, and His deliverance was all done by Himself. And then lastly, He did more in His death than He ever did in His life. Verse number 30, so the dead which He slew at His death were more than they which He slew in His life. Miss Tanya, could you please come play softly? The story of Samson is a sad story, but the Lord uses him in his last prayer, and he's able to be mentioned in the Heroes of Faith, and he's able to be mentioned in the Heroes of Faith in Hebrews. I know that the subject that we talked about is sensitive. I know that it's, you have to be discreet when talking about it, and it's not something that you would just announce that you struggle with. But I'll tell you, there's deliverance from that. Just the same way that any other sin, it'll deliver you from that. Young people, I know the struggles of a young man. And people say that they're not affected by the body of a woman. And I'll tell you that they're either lying or they're gay. They are. But you can have deliverance from that. I'll tell you the story. There was a man by the name of John Griffith. He worked on the Mississippi River, and he was a railroad drawbridge operator. He grew up in the Great Depression. He worked as a railroad drawbridge operator. And his job was to sit in a booth, and he was to press a lever, and as the train would come, he would press that lever, and he would lower the drawbridge down and let the train pass by. Whenever there was no trains coming, he would press a lever and let the drawbridge up and let the boats pass under in the Mississippi River. So every day he did that. And one day he decided to bring his son, Greg, to work with him one day. And he said, I want him to experience this. And so they're having a good time that day. And things went on. And Greg watched his dad press that lever and watched that massive drawbridge in the distance go up as he pressed the lever, and we watched it go down as he pressed the lever, and watched the train go across. And came time for lunch, and they were having a good time. They went off about 100 yards off in the distance, and they sat down and ate for lunch. And he had heard a faint cry off, a faint whistle off in the distance, and he looked at his watch and he said, "It's time for the 107 Memphis Express." And he thought to himself, well, I have just enough time to go down to the control tower and climb across the catwalk over those massive gears below and walk up the ladder and then climb into the control tower and press that panel. And so he did that. He ran across the field and went across the catwalk over the gears below, and he climbed the ladder, and right before he pressed that lever, he heard a cry. And he looked out from the control tower, and it was his son, Greg. He had walked across the catwalk, and he had fell into those gears below. He had a decision to make. He said, I can press this lever, and I can save 400 people on the Memphis Express and let my son die a gruesome death, or I can not press it and let those 400 people die on the Memphis Express a fiery death. So he put his head in his arm, and he said, he reached up and he pressed the lever, and he tried to drown out the cries of his son, and he watched the train go by, and he watched that train go by across the tracks, and he started to beat on the glass. He said, "Don't you realize what I've just done?" They were drinking tea, and they were just laughing and having a good time, and they had no idea. He said, "Don't you realize what I've just done? I've just killed my son so that you can live." And I want to tell you that he's killed his son so that you can live tonight. He's killed his son, and so we didn't have to die a death like that. And he's killed his son that we can have victory over those sins, and he's killed his son for all that.